Every day, hospitals and health systems are doing some of the most innovative work in America, finding new ways and new partners to collaborate with to advance the health of their communities. This out-of-the-box thinking is making a difference. Welcome to the American Hospital Association's new podcast series, Just Lead, a series highlighting how hospitals and health systems that have been recognized with AHA awards for innovation, collaboration, and health equity are transforming healthcare for their communities. I'm Tom Hederle with AHA Communications. The annual AHA Dick Davidson Nova Awards recognize the stars of this effort. The awards salute those programs that are helping to address many of our nation's most pressing health challenges while creating healthier communities and increasing well-being for their neighbors. By the way, the deadline for applications for the 2023 NOVA Award is November 16th. You can learn more at www.aha.org/NOVA. AHA's 2022 NOVA Awards recognize five programs, among them Community Connect from Children's Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul. In a nutshell, this program uses well child visits at primary care clinics to identify unmet health-related social needs. In this podcast, Community Connect's manager joins AHA's Senior Associate Director for Media Relations to discuss the successful results.
Hi there, I'm Sean Berry, Senior Associate Director for Media Relations at the American Hospital Association, and we're talking with recipients of the 2022 AHA Dick Davidson NOVA Award. And this award recognizes hospitals for their collaborative efforts to improve community health. And I'm joined today by Jessica Block, who has for the past 5 years served as the manager of community health programs at Children's Minnesota in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So Jessica, thanks so much for speaking with us. I want to start by asking you about the Community Connect program, which is the focus of your award. Can you tell us what it is and how did it start?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I do want to just say a quick thank you to the AHA for the NOVA Award. It's really been such an honor to be here alongside other hospital programs doing such great work impacting the health of their communities. So the Community Connect program at Children's Minnesota is really a systematic way of shifting our primary care model to include addressing the social determinants of health. So we've built out a team of resource navigators that serve our Minneapolis and St. Paul primary care clinics. We ask about social determinants at all well child visits. We have a wide network of community partners that we work to get folks connected to the resources out in the community. And then we follow up with them as well. So we're really walking through the journey with the family, partnering with them to make sure that they have access to the resources that they need.
Got it. No, appreciate that. And could you talk a bit more about some of your community partners and what do those partnerships look like? Who are they? How did you find them? Just want to get a portrait of that work.
Yeah, so I will say community partners are absolutely key to doing this work. My team, prior to the Community Connect program coming online, had already been doing a lot of work in the community, building relationships, spending time getting to know what the needs were and how we could be supportive as a healthcare system. And so as the Community Connect program came to life, we were really able to transform some of those relationships into partnerships. And so we're always looking for mutually beneficial partnerships where we're able to align on shared goals and really help the community health. And so I could spend a lot of time listing the many partners in our network, but I'll focus on just a couple for the sake of time. I'd say a great example is our partnership with Second Harvest Heartland. We partner with them in a couple of different ways. One, providing on-site emergency food support for that more short-term emergent support. And then we also partner with their SNAP outreach team. And so that's a great example of their goal being to reach as many folks as possible who aren't enrolled in government benefits that support food, us being able to identify those folks, get them sent over their way, and then they walk the family through step by step, really making sure that they enroll in benefits and that they get that longer-term support as they go. The other thing I would mention is our healthcare legal partnership. So we partner with two local legal aid entities, Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid and Southern Minnesota Regional Legal Services, so one on either side of the river in the Twin Cities. And again, it's a perfect example of how this program really aims to increase access, create additional access points. So really bringing those folks on site as co-located services so that we can build trust and really make those warm handoffs, facilitate those system-to-system connections.
Appreciate those examples, and particularly your point about the SNAP program and government partners. And I think something we've talked about a lot during the pandemic is just the public health role that hospitals and health systems play and being a conduit. Could you talk about that a bit more, of just where you see yourselves fitting into that public health ecosystem in your region?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, as a pediatric healthcare system, we really know that we have a unique opportunity to get ahead of these social factors impacting kids' health. So that's why we start asking from the very first visit and at every well child visit, what's going on in their home, in their life, in their neighborhood, so that we can really help make those connections early on. We definitely want to make sure we're not duplicating services that exist in community, but instead are really supporting existing programming, existing organizations out in the community, and helping be that bridge to make sure that we're increasing access and reducing barriers to accessing those needed resources.
Yeah, makes sense. Appreciate that. And I think you've started to answer this already, but you hear a lot about community needs assessments, and you talked about social determinants, and I want to know more about how you went about determining what those community needs are, particularly those that are not directly medical in nature, but are more social and economic. How did you do that assessment? How did you collect that information to help inform your programmatic goals?
Yeah, so as you may know, under the Affordable Care Act, as a nonprofit health system, we are required to do the community health needs assessment every 3 years. But at Children's Minnesota, we really didn't want to just check the box on that activity. We really wanted to make sure we were doing it in a way that truly engaged our community to understand what are their priorities and then determine what our role is in helping to address those. And so our 2016 community health needs assessment is really was the impetus for this program, because through that process, we interviewed more than 40 individual community-based organizations, heard from thousands of community members through events and focus groups and interviews. And really what we saw was a fundamental shift from previous years away from traditional health needs like asthma or obesity, and really towards this cluster of social determinants of health. And so that was things like access to resources, education, and structural racism. So that was really our call to action, to figure out if the community is telling us that these things are impacting their health and their children's health, we have an obligation to be every family's essential partner in addressing those.
Got it. And there seems to be a lot more discussion and awareness of societal factors and the fact that there's much more to health outcomes than just your direct interaction with the healthcare system. How have you seen that broadening awareness over the last few years, and do you see more awareness of that?
Yeah, I absolutely do see a lot more awareness of that. I think when we started this program 5 years ago, I used to have to start with sharing the facts about what are social determinants of health and why do they matter. You know, we used to have to explain to people that only 20% of a person's health really comes from the healthcare that they're receiving, and that other 80% happens outside the walls of our healthcare system. So by and large, healthcare has really caught up to community and understanding that. And I think lots of healthcare systems, it's pretty standard practice now to be screening for those things. I think where the variation in practice really comes into play is what interventions are put into place. And so I think that's what's really unique about the Community Connect program, is that we very intentionally built a program that's staffed by people from the community. So they speak the same language as the patients and families they're serving. They have similar backgrounds, and they're really able to build relationships, build trust, and then guide families through navigating a complex resource landscape.
I wanted to go back to a point you made earlier, because I like how you phrased it, which was turning relationships into partnerships. Could you talk more about that and just kind of what that journey looks like, either a specific example or just just kind of your framework for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have what we call a tiered partnership framework. And so the goal isn't for every partner to end up at the highest end of that spectrum as a contracted partner, but to really figure out with the various organization, the partnership that will work for that individual relationship. And so we really work to create those mutually beneficial relationships. One of the best ways of identifying who to partner with is really through family feedback and listening to the navigators. Really understanding when they talk to families in that follow-up process, did they have a good experience at that organization? Did they get what they were looking for? The Community Connect navigators will also spend time visiting organizations out in the community to understand firsthand what it's like to go to that food pantry or to go to that community center so they can really help the family prepare for an appointment there or understand what their experience is going to be like. And so if I'm hearing from the navigators and from families that an organization is really serving them well, generally I'll reach out and try to make a connection with a manager there, leadership there, figure out where are our goals aligned, how can we find synergy, and then create a partnership from there.
And these community navigators, could you talk a bit more about how they're trained and just how they're equipped to go about this work of really engaging with the community? Because it is a different role than you used to see it in a hospital or a health system.
Absolutely. It's a common question. And a lot of times people are surprised to find out that they're not social workers, they're not community health workers, but simply folks who are from the communities that they serve, who are passionate about this work and who are compassionate and can really have an honest, open conversation with families without judgment to understand what's going on for them and how can we support. And so many of the folks on the team have a background in things like interpreting or other customer facing type roles. But bottom line is they're people first and they're folks who are able to really bond with, build relationships with our patients and families.
And I would imagine that as these relationships have become partnerships, it's helped with the pipeline of recruitment and finding the right navigators to join your team.
Yeah, absolutely. We have an incredible team of resource navigators. They have varied backgrounds and experience, but at the bottom line is they all are so passionate about helping the families that they work with. And I get consistently good feedback from patients and families about having that kind of extra safety net or support so that even if their case is closed, we've already helped them with address a particular need, they can call at any time. The door stays open and we're always there to help them.
And as you know, part of the reason for this award is to recognize impact. And so could you talk a bit about the impact of the Community Connect program and some of what you're especially proud of?
Yeah, so measuring impact is, of course, especially important as a grant-funded program. We want to make sure that we're being good stewards of that money and that funding and to really also keep us accountable and on track to make sure we're having the intended impact on health outcomes specifically. And so with this runway of time, now that the program has been up and running for about 5 years, we're able to look at participation data for patients before and after they participate in the program and look at some of their health outcomes. And so what we've really seen is that for patients that participate, after they participate, they're less likely to show up in the emergency department. They're more likely to stick to their preventative care visit schedule. And we also see that in a small population that there was better controlled asthma. And I would mention too, across all of those metrics, we saw greater increases in populations of color. So we really do see this as a health equity intervention. We measure a lot of different metrics to really understand the impact of the program. But for me, the patient and family stories that we capture, those are where the real impact lives. I think, you know, we've got numerous examples, but when you hear a story about a family who was at risk of losing their home and the roof over their head, but we were able to make a quick referral to a community partner and make sure that didn't happen, that's where you begin to see how this can really impact the trajectory of a child's life.
Yeah, I really like that answer. And just to your point about sometimes this intervention, it has nothing to do with being at the hospital or a traditional medical intervention, but it's so critical and important to that person or that family living a healthier life. So I appreciate you talking through that impact. Anything else you wanted to share about the award or about about your work?
I guess I would just say, you know, it's been really incredible to see the program grow. Back in 2017, it started as just an idea and really us figuring out what our role is, to your point, about how do we fit into this public health ecosystem? How do we support community health as a pediatric healthcare system? And so really seeing that go into a pilot phase and implementation, and then now for it to be a fully operational, fully integrated program into our primary care setting has really been an incredible privilege. Families and patients have really come to count on this program, as have our clinicians. We see that, you know, clinicians now, after the program came online, respond that 67% increase in families having the support that they need to be healthy. You know, I guess, and then the last thing I would say is, as a pediatric healthcare system, we know that if we're not addressing those factors that are out in the community where kids live, learn, and play, we know that we can never truly help influence their health and keep them as healthy as they could be to thrive. So this program really is living those values.
So once again, I've been speaking with Jessica Block, who's with Children's Minnesota in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.